So let's give Patch and Pee-wee a hand. I should have Patch coming to my Sunday school class. I've been teaching through the book of Exodus, and I thought that was really good. Did a great job, kids, and appreciate our workers. Tonight, if you have your Bible tonight, if I would invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at several different passages tonight, but we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, let's begin reading in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Father, we thank you for giving us this time that we can now set aside to look into your word and allow you to speak to our hearts. And Father, you know the need in each and every heart. And Father, I'm thankful for the message you put up on my heart. I'm thankful for what your word teaches. And just pray your Holy Spirit would give me strength and give me utterance tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to say that I grew up in a home where we went to church every Sunday. And I'm thankful for that. You know, going to church every Sunday was what used to be what all Christians pretty much did. It was the norm. But sadly, nowadays, many Christians just treat church casually. It's not the center of their lives. It seems that self-fulfillment, happiness is now at the center. To the extent that the church helps them feel fulfilled and happy, they attend. But if the church doesn't deliver what they want, then they shop around for a new one or they join those who have dropped out. You know, sadly, I want to just say tonight that commitment to church is at an all-time low. I'm talking about nationwide, worldwide. The days in which we are living, that seems to be true wherever I've been. When I was a missionary traveling around the country, and it just seems to be more and more as we get closer to the coming of Christ that church is no longer important anymore. You know, I've read that many who claim to be born-again Christians, they think that they're really committed to church if they attend just two or three times a month. You know, that didn't used to be. You know, some professing Christians today do not even want anything to do with the church. Going to church messes up their much-needed weekend off or their only day to sleep in. You know, there are others that figure, well, I can get all that I need spiritually online. I can watch TV, I can go online, I can listen to podcasts, and so that's all I need. And then there are those that have been wounded by the church more than once, and so they want to avoid more pain. You know, all these different scenarios we see, it seems they're all saying, who needs the church anyway? And that's going to be my title tonight, who needs the church anyway? You know, there's a popular social media catchphrase, you may have picked it up on social media, but it says something like this: you don't go to church, you are the church. You know, I can get that sentiment in some ways, but I want to say that it's really an unhealthy view. It's not a biblical view to say that. It seems to be pitting being the church against going to church. And let me just say this, if we are going to be the church, then we need to go to church. You know, nowhere in the Bible will you ever find the church referring to a single individual, Lone Ranger Christian, just going about his Christian duty, but never gathering in an assembly called a church. You know, the word church in its very nature, when Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 16:18, when he said, I will build my church. The word he used, ecclesia, is a word that means a called out assembly. It was used in the Greek city-states back in that time when a town crier would call out to the citizens to come together for a town meeting. And so what it simply means is an assembly. And so Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my assembly. And so a church is something that assembles together. It's a people that have been called out of this world by Jesus Christ, that put their faith and trust in Jesus, have followed him in baptism, and they've covenanted together, joined together as a church to worship and serve him. Let me say that not just any assembly of believers is a church. It must be scriptural in its organization, in its membership, in its officers, in its ordinances, in its doctrine, in its mission. You know, this is the biblical and historical pattern that was set forth by the apostles and those who followed. You can go through the book of Acts and you can see how that the church that Jesus started began to branch out. They began to go out and preach, and churches were established. They would gather weekly to worship God. Even at times, daily, they would continue in worship together. Tonight, I want to just say it's vitally important that we understand the importance of church. I feel like this is a need in our day and time. This is a need for God's people to hear how important church is. Did you know there are 114 references to church in the New Testament that speak about the church or churches? When you look in the book of Acts, you'll see that the apostles, they started or established nothing but churches. The early Christians, they were baptized and added into these churches. The Holy Spirit gave members of these churches spiritual gifts to carry out God's work. The church sent forth missionaries to preach the gospel and establish churches. It was the church that Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. You know, I want to just say that I believe with all my heart that If we are born-again children of God and we're not active in church, I want to just say we're not in the will of God. We're not in the will of God. I want to give you four reasons tonight. And I'm saying there's probably dozens or more reasons why church should be important to us, but I want to just focus on four tonight and probably spend the most time on this first reason. The first reason why church should be important to us is that the church is God's plan for this age. You know, the age in which we are living, the church is God's plan. You know, back in the Old Testament, it was the temple. It was Israel. Today, it is the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, as I look at this verse of scripture here in Matthew 16, 18, I make several observations. And the first one is that the church is the only organization that Jesus is building today. I mean, stop and think about this. Jesus, I will build my church. This is the only organization that Jesus is building today. And this is not some man-made organization. There are some churches out there, yeah, that are man-made organizations. But I believe that churches that have their doctrine from the New Testament, that follow the practices of the New Testament, that stand upon the Word of God, I believe that they are scriptural, biblical churches that are divinely designed by Jesus Christ Himself. You know, Jesus built and designed the church. It's not a man-made organization. Not only that, the church is not man's idea. It is God's idea. It's God's idea. Jesus calls it my church. That's personal. He said, I will build my church. The church belongs to Jesus. Do you realize tonight that Bible Baptist Church is not my church? It's not your church. You know, in a sense, yes, it is. Yes, this is the place where we attend. This is the place where we fellowship. This is the place where we worship. But it is Christ's church. Jesus said, I will build my church. We need to keep that in mind, that the church is Jesus' church. And that's why it should be important to us tonight. It is what He purchased with His own blood. I want you to look, if you would, in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28. Acts 20, 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He had purchased with His own blood. Now, Paul is speaking here to pastors. He had gathered these pastors that came from various places. They came from Ephesus, and he was giving them a message. And Paul, as he was speaking to these pastors, he said, you need to take heed to yourselves as pastors. And not only to yourselves, but you need to take heed to all the flock. And he's talking about the people that are in their congregations. And he said, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. You know, a pastor is an overseer. That is what the word bishop means. A bishop is an overseer. And so he said, the Holy Spirit of God has made you an overseer of your congregation. And so he says to feed the church of God. That's what a pastor does. He feeds the church of God. What does he feed the church of God? Doctrine. He feeds them the Word of God, the good Word of God. And it says, which He had purchased with His own blood. It's Christ's church, purchased with His own blood on the cross of Calvary. It belongs exclusively to Him. You know, it seems like we would pay attention to His church, or that His church would be important to us if we really love Jesus. You know, when a person says they don't need the church, that's troubling to me. It really is. It's troubling to me when I see many Christians or professing Christians out there today that just church is not important to them. That troubles me. Because of what I know about what the Scriptures teach in the New Testament about the church, it is God's plan. It is God's plan for this age, for God's people to come together, to worship together, to serve the Lord together. It is God's plan for this age. And it's the only organization that Jesus is building today. We also learn another thing about in this verse, and that is Jesus is the foundation of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He said, and I say also unto thee, he was speaking to Peter here, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, some have taught that Peter is the foundation of the church, but that's a misinterpretation of what this verse is saying. Jesus said to Peter, "Thou art Peter." You remember his name was Simon, son of Jonas. And he changed his name to Peter. And this word Peter, the Greek word Petros, Petros was a little piece of rock. I want you to get that in your mind. Petros is a little piece of rock. And then Jesus said, "Upon this rock, Petra." Petra means a big, massive slab of rock. "Upon this rock, I will build my church." He's not talking about Petros, Peter. And Peter understood what Jesus was talking about, because later, Peter wrote in his first epistle in chapter 2. I'm going to turn over there in 1 Peter chapter 2. He tells us in verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone is stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed." You know, the context, going back to verse 3 through 5, is talking about Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation stone of the church. Peter is laying that out very plainly. He is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 28:16. He said, it's written in the scripture. Isaiah wrote about this. You know, if you look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, Paul agreed with this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You know, you could also go to Ephesians 2, but I'm not going to take time to go there, but in verse 19 through 22. But the scripture makes it very, very clear. Jesus Christ, he is the foundation stone of the church. You know, Peter had just made a confession of Christ. You know, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" That was what he wanted to know. He wanted to know what they believed. Of course, Jesus knew their hearts. But he wanted to draw out a confession. And so Peter, he made this confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Listen, it's upon this confession of faith in Christ that Christ builds his church. But Jesus is the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone of the church. Another thing I observed from this passage is that Jesus gave power to his church. He gave power. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then verse 19, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." Now, I want you to stop and think about this a minute. The gates of hell, what does the gates of hell mean? In the Bible, the word gate, it refers to it represents authority or power. It was at the city gates that they would conduct their business. That was where the judge of the city would have court. That's where they had trials. It was a place of authority and power. And so the gates of hell is referring to the power or authority of death or Satan. And Jesus says here, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Why is that? It's because Jesus gave to the church his power. He gave them power over all the enemy. You can read that in Luke 10:19. He told his disciples, "I've given you power over all the enemy." Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." You know, Jesus gave his church power over the enemy. You know, the church is going to endure throughout the ages because of this divine power that Jesus has invested in his church. And it's not just power over the enemy, but if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 28, here in this last chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus, right after he raised up from the dead, he gave his disciples the Great Commission. Here in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. He said, the Father has given me all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. And notice what he says in the next verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now stop and think about this. Jesus is not speaking to the apostles as individuals, because they've died and been dead for 2,000 plus years. He was speaking to the church as an institution. Jesus builded his church. He started his church. He established his church with these apostles. Through these apostles, the gospel went out and spread. Churches were started and established. And this has continued for the past 2,000 plus years. Churches across the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, carrying out these very commands of Christ, teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And you know, this is the promise he gave to his churches. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What a great promise. You know, the church is going to be here to the end of the world. It's going to be here till Jesus gets back. Amen. He gave his power to the church to carry out this commission. You know, he didn't give that power to a preacher. He didn't give that power to an apostle. He gave that power to a church, to a congregation, to a New Testament local church. Listen, that's the authority that we've been given, the power we've been given as a church to teach all nations, to baptize, to observe the ordinances that Christ gave to the church, to teach them, as he said, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You can also learn from the scripture in Matthew 18. I'm not going to turn there because of time, but Matthew 18, 15 through 18, the church has been given power to exercise church discipline. I mean, there's certain power given to the church, and Jesus even mentioned that in verse 19 in Matthew 16. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and then whatsoever you shall bind on the earth, it shall be in heaven. You know, the church has been given authority and power. You know, we've been given power to train laborers, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. We've been given power to send forth missionaries, Acts 13, 1 through 4. You know, the church at Antioch, they sent out Paul and Barnabas to the work whereunto the Holy Ghost had called them. We have that power, that authority. That's why the church should be important to us. It is God's plan for this age. You know, this observation, this last observation I make on this point is that Jesus promised the church would endure until he comes. He promised it would endure. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He promised the perpetuity of the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. You know, Bible Baptist Church in Dumas, one day it could cease to be. But there'll be other churches preaching. You cannot stop the spread of churches. Jesus Christ is going to be proclaimed by churches. His people are going to assemble together into churches. They're going to worship. They're going to observe the ordinances. They're going to ordain pastors and deacons. They're going to send out missionaries. That's going to continue until Jesus comes. That's what the Bible promises. John Stott wrote about the church. If the church is central to God's purpose, as seen in both history and the gospel, it must surely also be central to our lives. How can we take lightly what God takes so seriously? How can we dare push to the circumference what God has placed at the center? Pretty good question to ask ourselves. If church is important to God, if it's part of His plan for this age, for His people, how can it not be important to us? That's my first big point tonight. I told you I was going to spend the most time there, so don't be afraid. We got three more points, okay? The next one, point two, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, the church should be important to us if Christ loved the church. I want to read Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And Paul is writing about husband and wife relationship. He compared it to his relationship with the church. I'm just going to read this one verse because of time. But he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So when he speaks to husbands, he says he wants us to love our wives with the same sacrificial love wherewith he loved the church. How many of you husbands here tonight love your wives? Come on, raise your hands. You better raise your hands or you're not going to get dinner tonight. You're going to have to come for counseling after tomorrow, schedule an appointment with me. You know, there's nothing more that a good man loves than his bride. And you know, the Lord here, He instructs us as husbands tonight to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, just looking at this verse alone, this should be sufficient. I should just quit right here. I didn't even need to preach the first point. This is all we need, isn't it? I mean, if Christ loved the church that much, He sacrificed Himself. He shed His blood for it. He said, I'm going to build my church. Shouldn't we love it? Shouldn't the church be important to us? Should it be something that is a part of our lives and our families? You know, in ages past, that's the way it was in our country. Families went to church together every Sunday. It was a big part of their lives. It was the center focus of their lives. But today it is no more. Look at the mess we're in today. Point three, the church reveals Christ and His glory to the world. This is why the church should be important to us, because the church reveals Christ and His glory to the world. While you're in Ephesians, go back to chapter 3 and verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8, he says, unto me, Paul is writing here, unto me, who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I wish I had an hour to preach on this verse, but I don't. But I just want to say this very simply. Paul is saying here, the church is something that has been a mystery through the ages. You know, you go back to the Old Testament, you will not find the church. You will not find any prophecy about the church. You'll find prophecies about Christ. You'll find prophecies about His crucifixion, about His burial. You'll find prophecies about His resurrection. You'll find prophecies about His virgin birth. You'll find prophecies about His first coming and His second coming. You'll find all those things in the Old Testament, but you will not find one verse about the church. You know why? It was a mystery. What does a mystery mean in the Bible? It means something hid in ages past. So Paul, that's what he said. He said God had called him the less than the least of all saints, given him this privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make known what? This mystery. What's the mystery? The church. The church was a mystery. It wasn't revealed until the New Testament, until Jesus came on the scene and said, listen, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. And he says here that to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This just is mind-blowing. I mean, we're not here just to reveal to the lost world out there about Jesus Christ and his glory. But you know what? We're here to reveal to those in the heavenly places. We're talking about angels. That the angels might see the manifold wisdom of God. As the angels look down upon the church. I wrote in my Bible years ago, and I want to read what it says. The church is the theater for the display of God's wisdom to the world, men, and angels. Shakespeare was right. All the world is a stage. Men are actors. God is the director. Angels are the audience. Just look at the book of Job sometime and see that. It was the angels observing everything that was going on in Job's life, including a fallen angel, Lucifer, who's become Satan, God's adversary. Listen, by the church, Jesus purposed. It tells us here in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. He purposed in all eternity past that the church would reveal his glory. Wow, that blows me away. Look in verse 21 in chapter 3. Unto him, context is speaking of Christ, unto him, Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know, Paul closes this chapter talking about the mystery, the church that has been hidden ages past, revealed now. He's saying that unto him, unto God, that is, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Throughout all ages, what does that mean? Well, until Jesus comes, it's going to endure. We are to reveal his glory. Did you know that the church reveals Christ and his glory to the world? It is through the local New Testament church that God has purposed to make himself known to the world. That's what it means. That's what he's talking about here. That is how Christ is known. How many of you were saved outside of and apart from the local church? I'm sure that there wouldn't be very many raise their hand. I'm sure most of you here tonight would say, well, I was saved and going to Sunday school. I heard the gospel and the Lord convicted me and I trusted Christ as my Savior. Or maybe you were sitting in a church service, or maybe you were at church camp, or you know, or maybe somebody from the church came to your house and led you to Christ. You know what? It was through a local church, pretty much most of us came to know Christ as our Savior. Why wouldn't the church be important to us? There's a lost and dying world out there. If we don't give ourselves to the church, if we don't serve through the church, how's the world going to know him? You know, it's interesting that in the New Testament, the church is called the body of Christ. We are his body here in Demas, Texas. We are his feet. We are his hands. We are his mouth. You know, Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us. He gave us the commission to reach out to a community with his love. You know, when I study the life of Paul in Bible college, I'm sure Brother Robert and Cassie have been maybe studied that already or about to study that, but the life of Paul, you can study through the book of Acts and even the epistles in the New Testament. And what you're going to find is this. You're going to find that Paul never considered his ministry in an area to be fulfilled when every person was reached with the gospel. No, he considered an area or his ministry fulfilled in an area when a church had been planted. When he planted a church, he would leave and go somewhere else. You know why? Because that church was there. They was going to take the gospel to the neighbors. That church was there and was going to take the gospel to the neighboring communities. He knew that if he left a church in that community, the gospel would go forward. And that's the way it's been throughout history. We're here tonight because there was a church that sent a preacher to Dumas in 1948 and went out knocking on doors and preaching the gospel here in Dumas, Texas. That's why we're here. Because of a church. Let me give you the last reason why the church should be important to us. Because God commands us not to forsake the assembly of His church. I want you to look in Hebrews 10:25. You know, this is another one of those points that I feel like that we could just, I could just preach this point and it should be sufficient for people today, you know, that God said so. Why should the church be important to me? Because God said so. God told me it's important. He told me in His Word not to forsake it. Hebrews 10:25, He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, listen to that last part. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of Christ? When Christ is to come to rapture the saints, we're going to be caught up out of this world, we're going to be with Christ. He says, as that day is becoming more near, it's so much more important that we are faithful to the church. So much more important. You know, you realize that the church in the Bible is even likened to a bride. He said it's his bride. We're his bride. He's coming back. We should love the church. You know, in this verse before, right in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly. I want you to understand that church is God's plan for this age, and it's God's plan for your spiritual growth. You and I as a Christian, we cannot grow in Christ without church. We can't. God's plan is for us to be in a local church, to be in a family of believers, so we can together serve Christ. See, that's how we grow. The local church provides opportunities for growth that are available nowhere else. God never expected any of us to do it alone, to go out there and live the Christian life alone. No, He wanted us to do it in a body called a church. It's part of God's plan. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, this would be the last verse we'll look at tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. And before I read this, I want to just thank the church for this month of pastor appreciation. Thank you for your love that you've shown us. Thank you for your prayers that mean so much. I tell you, that's precious to us. We thank you all so much. But he tells us in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Who's he talking about? He. It's speaking of Christ. Christ gave to churches, pastors, and teachers. Why did he do that? It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. I mean, I could continue, but I think it's sufficient. We see that He gave pastors and teachers to churches so Christians can grow, so we can be perfected, so that we can mature, so that we could be equipped, so that we can be trained for what? For the work of the ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we come to the perfect stature and measure of the fullness of Christ. The church is part of His plan. Stephen Nichols, he wrote about the church. God has ordained the church. And I like this. I want you to listen to this. God has ordained the church a fellowship of the flawed. There's no perfect church. God has ordained the church a fellowship of the flawed to carry out His purpose and will in the world. When we consider the biblical teaching on the church, we realize the church is vitally important for growing in Christ. Like a branch that grows because of its connection to the tree, we thrive when we stay connected to the church. You know, God didn't call us to gather here and as an assembly, as a church, to burden us. He didn't intend for it to be a burden to us to come to church. He intended to bless us. Church attendance can be one of the greatest blessings in your life and in your family's life. When we gather regularly with God's people, it helps us to grow closer to Christ. It helps us to grow closer to God's people. It helps us to obey many of those one another commands in the Scripture given to us. You know, I'll close with the story. Years ago, when Apple Computer was falling on difficult times, their chairman, Steve Jobs, he went to New York to try to convince PepsiCo's John Sculley to move west and run his struggling computer company. As they sat there in Sculley's penthouse office overlooking Manhattan skyline, Sculley declined the offer. He said Apple would have to offer him an astronomical salary and benefit package. So Jobs, he finally agreed, and he said, well, if you'll move to California. But Sculley would only commit to being a consultant from New York. So finally, Job being frustrated, he confronted Sculley, and he said this: do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want to change the world? And it knocked the wind out of Sculley. He hadn't thought of it that way. He accepted the offer and moved west. You know, tonight I want to just say to you, the church that we're privileged to be a part of has a far greater purpose than making and marketing Apple computers, iPods, iPhones, iPads. The church is at the very center of God's eternal purpose for this world. You want to spend the rest of your life just on temporal passing things, or do you want to spend your life on something that can change the world, something that can change eternity for the people in your family, for your friends? I don't know about you, but I love the church. And it's an important part of my life. I hope you'll make it an important part of your life. Let's stand tonight, and we're gonna pray. Our Father, tonight we thank You for Your wonderful plan, the salvation that You've given to us in Your Son, and the church that He said, I will build My church. We're thankful for a place, a family that we can belong to, a place where we can come together and as the family of God and to worship, to share our burdens, to pray together, to carry out the commands of Christ, to support missionaries that are preaching the gospel around the world. Lord, what a privilege we have. We can be a part of a church. Lord, help us to be faithful church members. Help us to love the church as Christ loved the church. Help us to be devoted to what Christ was devoted to. Lord, it's the church was built by Jesus, founded on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We're not talking tonight about this building. We're not talking about this property here. We're talking about a people that Jesus has called out of this world and has saved and called us together to assemble, carry out His plan and His purpose, to reveal His glory. Tonight, Lord, it's not the church that we worship. It's Christ that we worship. Lord, may we realize that it is the church that You have purposed to carry out Your plan for this age. It's through the church that the gospel spreads to the nations around the world. Lord, it's sad today to see many Christians falling by the wayside, many of them no longer active in church, many of them, the church is no longer important to them. It's sad to see that children are growing up without hearing Bible stories in Sunday school and singing in children's choir and learning about Jesus. Lord, it's sad to see that become so prevalent in our society. But Lord, help us that are here tonight to make a difference, Lord, that we would make an important part of our family. Lord, that others might see Christ in us. And Lord, tonight as we open this invitation, Lord, I know that You know the needs of those here tonight, Lord, whether it's for salvation or whether there are those here that need to get their life right with You, Lord, and whatever it is, or maybe pray for someone that's in need. Lord, we pray that You would have Your way and Your will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.